Hello and welcome to the final episode of season 3 of I Could Never Be here on the Popcorn Talk Network. Man, three seasons is incredible, and I'm very fortunate for the people that I've been able to talk with and the lessons that we've been able to share. And just again, the whole point of the show is to be able to help inspire you, to be able to show you the lives of people who have achieved success, be able to look at the places that they've stumbled, the walls that they've hit and been able to push through, the obstacles that they've faced and said, this is not going to take me down today. I'm going to keep fighting. I'm going to keep pushing. And that inspires you, but also endears you to them to be able to see what they went through. The struggles, the time where they've been sleeping on a couch or in the back of a car, and still push forward, still strive to achieve success. Always start off the show with a little advice for a better life. And today, I'm going to flip a saying on its head. Everyone's heard the saying, YOLO. You only live once. It's something that a lot of people say, oh, they're in the moment, they want to do something crazy, and they say, YOLO, YOLO, you only live once, I'm going to do it. I want to flip this on its head, YOLO, but for 80 to 100 years. So think about that. You only live once, but you live for 80 to 100 years. So don't just live for that 5 minutes and do something stupid. YOLO, work hard, get ahead, set yourself up for success so that for that 80 to 100 years, your life will be amazing. The show is going to be amazing today, and I know that because, as I said, I'm very fortunate to talk with people who are revolutionary, who have really revolutionized an industry, and today's guest has done just that. She voices Ahsoka Tano on several animated Star Wars series. You also know her from Blue Collar TV with Bill Engvall and Larry the Cable Guy, but she has done so much more behind the camera for the female fashion world. She started Her Universe, which makes so many clothes and has really revolutionized the fangirl in a lot of people. Please welcome Ashley Eckstein. Ashley, thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, gosh. Michael, thank you so much for having me. I am honored to be on your final show. Congratulations
thank
on
you.
The amazing seasons.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. And you know what? As we were saying just before, it's the little things of if you can end one day having helped one person, that day is a success. And I think that's a big lesson. I know that's something that's a lesson that you try to, you know, tell yourself, but as well as other people too.
Yes. Yes. I mean, it's sometimes we get so overwhelmed with, you know, kind of the massive goal or, you know, just it's, you know, at least in our industry, it's oftentimes about sales and reaching sales goals and numbers at the end of the day. But for me, it's never been about numbers. It's about people. And I didn't get into the industry I'm in to make a lot of money, to you know, it was never about the business. It was about creating a community for fangirls and to make it a better place. And so if at the end of the day I can do that for one fangirl, then I consider the day a success.
Love that. Love that. So you're talking about the industry and you know, like I said, you do so many things. You've done so many things. How many people do you meet maybe that don't know exactly what you do and they say, so what do you do? What's your answer when someone asks that?
You know, it's a question that I get a lot, and I don't always know how to answer it because I'm probably most known as the voice of Ahsoka Tano. Mm-hmm. And so there's the actress bucket, which is kind of first and foremost my first job. But then with Her Universe, you know, I created Her Universe as this fashion line for fangirls. And so I could say, well, I'm the voice of a Star Wars character, or I make clothes for fangirls. And so I, you know, sometimes I just say, oh, it's difficult. Depending on who's asking, I kind of say something different.
Yeah. You're like, well, how much time do you have? Do you want the short version or the long version?
Well, 'cause one thing kind of led to another, but yes, it's a longer story.
Yeah, and I think that's partly detailed in your book. It's Your Universe. You have the power to make it happen, which came out just a couple months ago. That's fantastic. Tell us a little bit about the book and kind of how that even came to be written.
Absolutely. And I apologize. Of course, you know, I'm doing this from my office today and we set up everything perfectly. And then I have like the automatic lights. And of course, right as you ask the question, my lights turn off. So
technology
for motion. So if you see my t-shirt just like rise into the screen,
You just plug in a t-shirt. You just plug in a t-shirt. That's all it is.
Yeah, yeah, I plug in the t-shirt. So, anyway, so the book, actually, I've got a copy right here. It's Your Universe, You Have the Power to Make It Happen. And I have to tell you, the fact that I am holding this book in my hands means that anything is possible. Because there's several things on my list of things I said I would never, ever do. And one of them is write a book. And I was okay with that. I was completely okay with the fact that I would never write a book. I would start out by writing an essay and I'd end up with about a solid 5 pages and realize, maybe that's all I'm ever meant to write is an essay.
Mm-hmm.
But I was having meetings with the Disney book group, and I had just done the book tour for Ahsoka, which was a YA novel after my character, and it was written by the amazing E.K. Johnston, and I just did the audiobook for it. And so luckily she let me go on a book tour with her and meet all the fans, and we had a really successful book tour. And and actually, for those that don't know my character Ahsoka, here she is. My desk is right behind me, so I can pull things into the picture. But we'd had a really successful book tour, and Disney said, hey, there's clearly a large fangirl audience out there. Maybe we should work more together. What would you like to do? And so I was throwing out a bunch of, other fiction stories, thinking that we would do something similar to Ahsoka. And somebody asked me if I would write, my autobiography or memoir. And instantly, I became terrified, because the word memoir is just like, ooh.
That's a daunting word.
It's very daunting. I kind of felt like I haven't done enough or achieved enough to write a memoir. I said to them, I said, well, I don't know about a memoir, but if you'll let me, the book I would write is more of an advice book on how to make my dreams come true. Because, thanks to, or how to make your dreams come true. Because thanks to, the inspiration and influence of Disney, lifelong inspiration and influence of Disney, and also Star Wars, it taught me to dream it and do it. And so I said, I would tell my story, but more as an advice book, and a guide on, step by step of how to make your dreams come true. So that's what this is, and on the back, you'll see it's a roadmap. So by the end of the book, you will have your own roadmap on how to dream it and do it, but it starts with a dream, then a wish, then you believe, then you do, then you transform, and then you trust. And it's all, stories from Disney, quotes, and also my story kind of all mixed throughout.
Nice. And I know you can get that on Barnes & Noble and Amazon, and certainly where other books are sold. And I want to be able to shout out, too, because, we're live here on YouTube. We have a number of live viewers. Be able to shout out, certainly, at Her Universe is where you can follow Ashley on Twitter and on Instagram. At The Popcorn Talk is where we are here. And at The Only MC is where you can find me on Instagram and Twitter. And we have a live chat going. So if you're watching this and you have a question, hop on over to the live chat. We have a number of people already in there kind of commenting, and if you ask a question, I'll try to work it in. Ashley, you said once in an interview that, quote, I am just an ordinary girl born into an ordinary life. Now, what does that mean to you, of an ordinary girl in an ordinary life?
Yes. I grew up in Orlando, Florida. And my dad worked for Disney. So, I say in the book that, I grew up Disney. I actually joke, I haven't done the 23andMe DNA test, but if I did, I think I would have a Disney chromosome in my DNA.
That 1%.
What?
That 1%.
Yes, just that 1%. Goodness, forgive me, where was I going with
You're
this?
Good. Disney chromosome, because you grew up there.
Yes. Oh gosh. Where? Forgive me. What was the question?
You're an ordinary girl from an ordinary life.
Yes. thank you. This is clearly live. I promise. I'm usually not this flaky. But, okay, so growing up in Orlando, Florida, I have, you know, of course I fell in love with the Disney princesses, and I've always had, you know, I love, you know, like the royal family today, and Kate Middleton and Meghan Markle, and I've always had this, you know, just kind of, real life princess desire. I fell in love with Cinderella at a young age. But I wasn't that. I was just a normal girl. My dad was a meat and seafood buyer for Disney. We were a, you know, very average middle class family. My parents, both of them worked two jobs. We never had extra, but we always had enough. And my parents taught us that, you know, anything is possible, that, you know, when you wish upon a star, the dreams that you wish can and do come true. But you have to work hard for it, that those dreams aren't just going to fall into your lap. And, you know, they taught me at a very young age that you have to dream it, but you also have to do it. And so I feel very much that, you know, nothing was ever handed to me. It was all through hard work. But, you know, I feel like you can be a real life Disney princess, or, you know, you absolutely can choose your own destiny. It's just through hard work and believing and a little bit of pixie dust.
That pixie dust is a key final step. Was doing something with Disney then, growing up, obviously every girl wants to be a Disney princess. Was it your goal to be able to do something with Disney?
It was. You know, as I actually say in the book, right in the beginning, I say, let me set the record straight. Disney didn't ask me to write this book. I asked to write this book. This is very much, and you know, you'll read, it's very much who I am. It's very authentic. You can definitely say it started it's in my DNA, because it started before I was even born. My parents actually, they're from Louisville, Kentucky, but they went to Disney World on their honeymoon. And while they were on their honeymoon at Disney World, they made a wish. And they made a wish that my dad would one day get a job for Disney World, and that they would move to Orlando and, you know, have a family and kind of raise a family Disney. And when I was 6 months old, my dad's wish and his dream came true. And so we moved to Orlando, and you know, very much, you know, so many of my firsts were at Disney, from visiting Santa Claus for the first time, to learning how to swim, to actually going to a live taping of the Mickey Mouse Club.
Wow.
And that's where I realized what my dream was. I was definitely bit by the acting bug at a young age. And, you know, I could see, you know, the Mickey Mouse Club was my favorite show. And I could see these kids that were only in my television screen. And it seemed so unreal. I mean, when it was just on TV, it was like it was fake. It's like, who are these kids? You know, how is that even possible? And then I actually went to a live taping of the show, and it became tangible. This kind of impossible thing that was inside my television screen was now right in front of my face, and these kids were real, and these kids were just like me. And it was then that, you know, I realized I wanted to one day be an actress on the Disney Channel. And and pretty much from the age of seven, when that happened, that was my goal, is I wanted to one day be an actress for Disney. And and literally, it's surreal to be here talking to you today, to have a book about it. And, you know, I've been on the Disney Channel as an actress, but also now Disney owns Star Wars, and to continue my work for them. So it's been a dream come true.
It's been a culmination, I think, of several years of having that vision.
Yes. I talk about it. I share stories in the book of, you know, starting when I was a young girl all the way until now. And there was actually, you know, a very specific moment for me. You know, when I was a young girl, my mom, you know, fortunately, when you have a parent that works at Disney, we could go every day for free if we wanted. He had this magical pass called the Silver Pass. And so we went all the time. And my mom would often take us just for the fireworks. And we love the song, When You Wish Upon a Star. And so, you know, when I was 3, 4, or 5 years old, she would take us just to watch the fireworks, and we'd look up in the night sky, and, you know, she'd tell me to make a wish. And then it was Christmas morning. I was 9 years old, and I remember my parents, they gave me a hat, and on the hat it said, "Don't dream it, be it." And they used that as a lesson, and they said, okay, you know, all of those dreams that you've been wishing upon, all of those stars, they're not just going to fall in your lap. You have to do it. You have to make it happen. So they said, we'll fully support you. You know, if you want to be on the Disney Channel, you can absolutely do that. But, you know, you have to practice singing, you know, every day. We want to hear you in your room, practicing your scales, practicing your warm-ups. If, you know, go to your dance classes, make sure you memorize all your lines, make sure you get all your homework done, because if I didn't get my homework done, I couldn't, you know, do the singing, dancing, or acting. And, you know, not only did they teach me that, but they also led by example. You know, everything they did, they worked incredibly hard every single day, day in and day out. So that was, I literally remember that day like it was yesterday. And so it has, it's been a vision of mine ever since I was a young girl. But, you know, they taught me that anything is possible through hard work.
But I think that is an important lesson of, you know, everyone has dreams and it's like, oh, dream big, and dreaming big is great. But yeah, you got to be able to put those dreams into action.
Well, and that's actually, this was a big reason why I wanted to write this. You know, to me, you know, dreaming is ageless. It's timeless. It's genderless. You know, these stories, they're for everyone. But, you know, specifically, I did want to write this book, you know, for fans of all ages, especially kind of tweens and teens, because if you think about it, you know, kids don't automatically know how to dream it and do it. I think as adults, you know, we've been through enough now at this point. We generally know maybe kind of how to take that first step. But kids don't always know how to do that. You have to teach kids how to dream it and do it. And so, you know, I'm hoping through the book that this is, you know, if there isn't somebody in the reader's life that can teach them how to do it, that this book can, you know, can do that, can kind of be the first step. Because even though I share my story, by the end of the book, this is meant to be the reader's journey.
Love that.
The book has several, here's one, prompts all throughout.
Oh,
so
nice.
It's meant to be like a journal. So, so it's meant where you can go back to it and, you know, write your dreams, scratch them out, change them. It's meant to be a working document.
Which is exactly, I think, how you lived your life. And again, the things that you've done and saying, oh, there's a list of things that I thought I'd never do, and writing a book was on there, and going from, you know, certain acting with Disney and then doing Star Wars and then now doing her universe. And I want to touch on the Star Wars, because a lot of people in the live chat, obviously big fans of yours. And there, I want to know, how did you get that role, or how was that role how did that come into your life?
Oh my goodness. I have to say, you know, being an actress on the Disney Channel was a very realistic dream, because I knew that they were constantly coming up with new shows, constantly casting for it. But I've been a Star Wars fan ever since I was a little girl. I started watching Star Wars. I mean, my earliest memory, I was like 3 years old, you know, watching it on VHS in our living room, which, you know, definitely dates me. But I love Princess Leia, but I didn't even want to be Princess Leia. I wanted to be R2-D2. I wanted to be a droid. You know, I've been a lifelong Star Wars fan. But by the time I had moved to LA to be an actress, you know, George Lucas was no longer making Star Wars. Mm-hmm. Like, it was kind of documented that Star Wars was done. So being an actress for Star Wars and originating a Star Wars character was was the dream that I didn't even think to dream. Like, you know, and I'll dream big, but like, I just thought there was no way. Like, that door was closed. It wasn't possible. And so when I got the call from my agent saying that they were auditioning for a new Star Wars show, I literally about fell out of my chair. I was just like, oh my gosh, this is unreal. This is, you know, just truly a dream come true. Padme. And then my dreams were dashed because I love Padme, but I sound nothing like Natalie Portman. And they were looking for a voice match for Natalie Portman. So, I generally with auditions, as you probably know, you know, you don't get much notice. I got the call the night before. And so I pretty much stayed up most of the night, and I was practicing and trying my hardest to be a voice match for Natalie Portman. And, you know, I just couldn't get it. And,
were you watching like videos of her talking and just trying to voice match? How does one go about voice matching?
Yeah, pretty much. You watch video clips. Thankfully, they had provided some audio clips. So they had given us some audio clips to try and match. And this was really before, you know, social media had even blown up. This was way back in 2005. So, you know, we don't even have, back then, we didn't have what we have today, you know, so readily available. So I scrounged up what I could. And it just, when it rains, it pours. You know, sometimes, you know, you'll go like a month or 2 months without a single audition. And just so happened that day I had 5 auditions in one day. All across LA. So it wasn't just that audition that I had to prep for. I had 4 other auditions to prep for. And the Star Wars audition was the last one of the day. And, you know, I didn't even have time for lunch that day because literally to make it everywhere, I had no time to stop. So I showed up to the Star Wars audition, just so hungry, which, you know, I get horrible headaches if I don't eat. So I was definitely hangry by that point. And, I walk in and they were running over an hour behind. And I was definitely, you know, you talked about kind of comparing yourself to other people. And I walk in and I had been auditioning for voiceover jobs for over 4 years at this point, and I had gotten nothing. Like, wow. Literally, like hundreds of rejections. And in fact, I had gotten close on 2 series, and I was cast, and then I was recast, which happens all the time. Wow. So here you are, you think you get the part, and then they take it away.
Yeah, you're riding that high, and then it goes away.
Yes. So while I feel like I never lost hope, my confidence was pretty dashed at this point. So I walk in and all the top voiceover actresses are there. And, you know, I was hungry, had a headache. And, you know, I still couldn't do Natalie Portman's voice. And so I did something that I normally never do, like completely uncharacteristic for me. I walked out, I went back to my car, I called my agent and I said, I'm leaving. I'm not even going to stay. I have no chance at this role. And I thank him every single time I see him. To this day, my agent said, no, you are not leaving. You never know what could happen. You're going to turn around and you're going to go back in and you're going to wait and you're going to do a great job. And I'm so thankful I listened to him because I went in. Sure enough, they stopped me and they, after the first line, and they said, you sound nothing like Padme. but there was this top secret, character that, they weren't even talking about because it was so top secret. And obviously it was for Ahsoka Tano. And, they stopped me and they said, you know, you're not right for Padme, but there's this new character. She's a 14-year-old girl and we think you might be perfect for her. Wow. And so I read for Ahsoka and, you know, that's kind of how it happened.
Did you read right then and there for her?
Yes. And actually, I didn't even have enough time, you know, as an actor, they call it a cold read. Mm-hmm. So when they hand you a script and you pretty much have to read it immediately, it was truly a cold read because I was reading as I was auditioning. I was reading it for the first time. So I didn't even have enough time to read it through one time. It was truly a cold read. And in fact, I go through it in great detail. Oh, geez, you're about to see my T-shirt again. Sorry. So this is not a shameless plug for my T-shirt. This is just getting comical. I'm so sorry. See, the light thing makes me flustered. So they actually wanted Ahsoka to have an Icelandic accent. And I if there's one thing I'm terrible at, it's kind of European accents. And so I read Ahsoka with my attempt to have an Icelandic accent, and I just butchered it. Like, it was one of my worst auditions. And I walked out of there and I was like, I'm never going to get called back for this. Like, never. But it turns out that, you know, they liked my tone, just my regular talking voice. So about a month later, and that happens a lot in acting, you get no feedback and, you know, a long amount of time will go by before you hear anything. And about a month went by and I got a call back. And they said, okay, we want her to come back, but we want her to really practice her Icelandic accent. So I went to a dialect coach and, you know, really mastered a pure Icelandic accent, which don't ask me to do it now because that was 10 years ago and I can't remember it to save my life. But I went back in there and I was so like proud of myself. I'm like, I can do an Icelandic accent. And the first line out of my mouth, they stopped me. And the director, you know, Dave Filoni, who, you know, is amazing, you know, he stopped me and he said, no, he's like, you know, we want more of an Icelandic accent. Can you make it sound more Icelandic?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I did something again I never do. And I spoke back to the director and I raised my hand and I said, I'm sorry, but I am doing Icelandic. I don't know what you want. And turns out that he wanted somebody to sound more like Bjork, which is more of like a hodgepodge of, you know, different European accents. And I was doing more of a pure Icelandic accent, which really just sounds Irish. So I was kind of doing an Irish accent. And so turns out I did my best and once again walked out and I was like, I am never getting this part. Like, I just butchered it. And about a month went by and I got a call saying that I booked the part. And I asked my agent, I'm like, how? And he said, well, thankfully they don't want you to do your Icelandic accent. they just want you to use your regular voice. And turns out that it was my talking in between takes. It was my talking back to the, you know, to the director, and kind of my snippy attitude, which, you know, Ahsoka, her nickname is Snips. and it was just me acting as myself that got me the part.
How much do you think, you know, that actually plays a role for so many things in life that people go in and they think, well, I'm just unprepared for this, but they don't factor in the secret that someone else knows, that the secret character or the take, like you were saying, what got you that role is the takes in between the takes that you were just talking and just being yourself. What lesson is that for people of it? Sometimes you think you might be unqualified, but go anyways, because you never know what is on the other side of the curtain that someone else is seeing.
Yeah. I think there's a couple lessons to, you know, to be learned there is that, you know, everything happens for a reason. And what we think is going to happen isn't always what's going to happen. And, you know, all you can do is go in and do your best. and prepare. And that's all I ever ask for with auditions is, you know, I can't help the unknown, and not even auditions, but anything in life. You can't help for the unknown. You can't prepare for the unknown, but you can prepare for what you know, and you can prepare your best. So, you know, I just hope that I can go into any situation and do my absolute best and walk out with no regrets. And you know, at that point, then the rest is just fate. It's just kind of whether it's your destiny or whether it's not. And then the other thing is I really think it's very important to just be yourself. I hear this over and over and over again. And in my experience, as I'm looking for new team members and, you know, working with, you know, team members here is, tell the truth and, be yourself and just be genuine. I feel like people can smell fraud from a mile away and, they respect when you're just kind of being yourself and, mm-hmm. and telling the truth. And it's okay if you don't have it all figured out. It's okay if you don't have all the answers, but people will respect it more if you just, if you're just honest and just tell the truth.
A lot of people, and very successful bosses, they hire people. They don't necessarily hire what that person can do because you can train them to do a certain task, but you can't train them to be a good person if they're not already. It takes a lot longer. Someone in the chat had a question. How did being a Sokka change your life?
Oh, goodness. Being the voice of Ahsoka 100% changed my life. You know, I say that, you know, Disney was my first love, but Star Wars changed my life. And, you know, the two together kind of make up what I am today. You know, I oftentimes, when I moved to LA, I don't know if it was the blonde hair, but I always ended up playing the mean girl or the bully. And, you know, it was fun, you know, as an actress, it's fun to always kind of play the, you know, kind of the character that you're not. Cause I would always say, it's like, I promise I'm the opposite of these characters I play. But I always had this kind of yearning desire to play the hero. And I think it's because, you know, everyone wants to be the hero. Everyone wants to be that real life Jedi or that real life superhero. And, you know, in came Ahsoka Tano, and she was groundbreaking. She was the first female Jedi that was a lead in the Star Wars universe. So, you know, I'm so grateful today that we have characters like Rey and Sabine and Hera and Jyn Erso and, you know, Rose Tico and all of these incredible characters. But back in 2008, when Star Wars The Clone Wars came out, Ahsoka was the first. She was the first female Jedi that had a lightsaber in her hands full time. And that was huge.
Yeah.
And, you know, more importantly than even just her gender, she's just a good character through and through. She wants to make the right decisions. She wants, you know, to always be honorable and, you know, kind of live her life the Jedi way, or, you know, now she's one of the leaders of the rebellion. And I just so badly wanted to be a real life version of Ahsoka. And so that's what I did. I realized that being the voice of Ahsoka was so much bigger than just a part or an acting role. I realized that I'd won the lottery, that I was given just the absolute life-changing, incredible opportunity to be a part of the Star Wars universe, and that I could reach fans around the world. And so that's kind of what I dedicated my life to do. I kind of wake up every day and I ask myself, what would Ahsoka do? You know, all sorts of decisions. And, you know, her universe, you know, just going back to kind of clothes for fangirls and when I realized that there was a need to make, you know, merchandise and clothes for female fans and more importantly than that, but a community for female fans to a safe place where female fans could step into the spotlight and say, you know, hi, I'm a girl and I like Star Wars. I wanted to just so badly say that this world is for everyone. And, you know, when I realized that kind of that type of community didn't exist. I took a step back and I knew nothing about starting a company. I knew nothing about making clothes. I knew nothing about any of that. I was a full-time actress. But I thought, you know, what would Ahsoka do? And Ahsoka would stand up for fangirls. And so that's what I did.
I feel like when a lot of people, and you're talking about that need, and that need was so much there because 10 years ago, 15 years ago, the sci-fi realm, it was so much of a so much of a manly domain where people are like, oh, it's only boys who are following this. Oh, we're going to cater to this. And I feel like whenever someone, like you're saying, they see a need and they see something lacking, there's several thoughts kind of that go through their head of, oh, something should be done about this. Someone else should do something about this. Or I guess this is just the way it is. Did you have those thoughts or what thought did you have that really drove you forward?
You know, I have to say it started out with a selfish, you know, selfish need. It started out with just a simple search for a t-shirt. So that's what drove me initially, is I just wanted more Star Wars clothes made for me. And when I quickly came up empty-handed, I just thought like, well, this can't be, because I know that I'm not by myself. I know that there's, you know, millions of women out there that are just like me. And so I just, you know, naively started doing my research and, you know, sure enough, found that, you know, at the time, 45% of all sci-fi fantasy fans were women and girls, and that 85% of all consumer purchases were being made by women. And, you know, I thought, okay, well, I'm not a mathematician, but again, these numbers aren't adding up. Mm-hmm. If you make stuff for us, we will buy it. But more importantly, in my research, I read story after story after story about women and girls being bullied and being bullied for just being themselves, and liking Star Wars and, you know, reading comics and, you know, saying that they're a fangirl. And, you know, I know as a fangirl myself that, you know, it's not a trend. It's not something that you're into one day and you're out of the next. Like, being a fangirl is part of who you are. It's literally part of your, as I say, my DNA.
Yeah.
So that's no way to live your life, you know, to hide a literally like a part of your soul. So when I discovered that need, I say that I suffer from chronic naivete, where I only see the end goal. I see the end need. And I don't see all of the brick walls and the roadblocks in between. I just see the end need and I just like put my head down and start running towards the end goal because I'm like, there's a need. Like, yep. we have to change this. And I actually view it as a strength. Like, you know, especially feel like it's more common with women and girls where, you know, it's kind of they say like, oh, you're so naive. It's usually looked at as a negative. I take it as a positive because I don't let those fears, I don't let those, you know, roadblocks or brick walls, you know, stop me. Half the time I don't even see them because, you know, I don't know what I don't know. Mm-hmm. That's good because fear can be, you know, one of the worst things. It can literally, you know, paralyze you. It can hold you back from even trying. And so sometimes I don't know what I don't know. And I just like a bull in a china, you know, cabinet, I just go straight in and I say, why not? And so, yeah, so I say I suffer from chronic naivete because I just see the need and go for it.
Well, I think you always got to realize success rarely, and I mean like maybe 1% of the time, is a straight line. You're going left, you're going right, you're climbing over the wall, you're running in circles sometimes before you actually see the opening to be able to dart through and keep going.
Yes, yes. That's actually why, okay, so the light hopefully isn't going out again, but that's why I wore this shirt today, because I love Alice in Wonderland. And, you know, I kind of view life as just Wonderland. The path isn't straight. You're going to constantly come to forks in the road and you have to go this way or that way. You know, life is just full of crazy characters and it's curiouser and curiouser. And then also I mix in a little bit of Pocahontas and I just say, you have to go wherever the wind takes you. And, you know, the wind isn't always going to take you straight. If you think about how the wind takes, you know, a leaf and it's constantly swirling and going this way and that way. And, you know, that's the path to making your dreams come true. It is not going to go straight. It's going to go every way but straight.
And I know you got so much in that middle section from the beginning to the end goal. I know you got so much pushback. What did people say? What were doubters saying to you to try to get you to stop?
I've heard everything. I've literally heard everything from, you know, even just starting as an actress, from, oh gosh, you know, you're not pretty enough. You're not awkward enough. You're not tall enough. You're not skinny enough. You're not talented enough. You know, I've heard everything, and especially as an actress, it's a business of rejection. You know, they often say for every 100 auditions you go on, you get one job. So I've heard everything under the sun to, you know, her universe, to literally being told that A, I had a bad idea, B, you know, that there's no money to be made in female fans, that I would never succeed. You know, see, to literally people called me up and told me to just stop. Just
wow.
To dream size small, because women would not buy merchandise made for them. And, you know, I think, I talk in the book a lot about, you know, dreaming and believing, you know, those two things, especially, you know, I bring up Cinderella as an example. You know, oftentimes people look at the story of Cinderella, for example, and they say like, oh, this is just, you know, a girl waiting around for the prince to come and save her. And that was never the message that I took away. The message that I took away from Cinderella is, you know, she says, you know, they can't order me to stop dreaming. And if you think about it, that's so powerful. You know, they stripped everything away from her. They stripped her title away. They stripped, you know, basically her lifestyle away. They, you know, they made her the servant. They locked her in the attic. They literally stripped everything away. But the one thing they could not take away from her was her power to dream, because that comes from within. And the same thing with believing. They can take everything away from you. They can give you rejection after rejection. They can take your job away. They can, you know, they can take certain grades away. They can, you know, they can strip everything away, but they cannot take away your power to believe. That comes from within. And, you know, you have the ultimate power, your power to never stop dreaming and never stop believing. As long as you have, you know, those two things, you will prevail. Your dreams can and do come true. But only you have the power to give that away. You know, your power to dream and your power to believe. So yeah, I think just never giving up of your power to dream and believe. And then also just always have hope. Yeah. You have to always have hope that, you know, eventually, if you keep trying, you keep believing, you keep working hard, your dreams will come true.
I love that. I want to ask you before we kind of get into some fan questions. Again, people have been loading up the chat, which is awesome. I mean, seriously, it's amazing, and I want to be able to get to some of their questions. But I want to ask you, because it seems like, you know, you're looking at everything that you've achieved, and you got to be on Disney Channel, and you love Star Wars, and you got that, and then you saw this need for her universe and attire, and you've done that. What drives you moving forward, and what's the next goal?
You know, it's never ending, because I think the thing, and I you know, again, I talk about it in here, in the transform chapter, to really transform for me and in my journey, kind of transform a dream into becoming a reality. You know, I learned that it's not about me. And you know, oftentimes we work harder, we work better, when, you know, you put somebody else ahead of yourself, or when you're working hard for a cause or for another person or for a loved one. And so, you know, I never, you know, Michael, you talked about putting your head on the pillow at the end of the night or at the end of the day, you know, kind of helping somebody else. And that's what fulfills me. That's what fuels me. That's what gives me fire every day. And so, you know, it's never ending. There's always a story, you know, from someone and from something. And so, you know, for me, I'm just constantly listening and constantly seeing what that new need is and what that new goal is. And so, you know, one of, and it's not new, you know, I founded Her Universe kind of on a platform, you know, for anti-bullying. You know, I read story after story of women and girls being bullied for just being who they are. And, you know, for me, it's been a constant passion and journey to, you know, pretty much everything I do for Her Universe has a mission behind it to combat bullying. And so, you know, I've been doing a lot of, you know, research and kind of visiting different experts in hospitals. And so, you know, for me, kind of my next thing is really, you know, bringing more awareness to mental health and, you know, doing more research for anti-bullying and kind of making our community a safer and better and more positive community, but also having a bigger conversation about the importance of mental health. Amazing. And so that's something that's kind of become, I can't say a new passion, but
a continuing kind passion,
of a fire that's burning inside of me.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I want to get to, we have like 2 minutes left, 2-3 minutes. I want to get to a lot of these fan questions. And we'll just do maybe just rapid fire and rapid answer. Can you ask Ashley if she cried or felt sad when she recorded the episode where she quits from the Jedi Order?
Oh, goodness. I absolutely cried. You know, I had to be careful because Ahsoka did tear up during that moment. So as Ashley, I was bawling. As Ahsoka, she was trying to hold in her, honestly, despair in that moment. So I had a little bit of a tear when I was recording the scene. But then afterwards, I was bawling my eyes out.
Someone says, ask her if she wants to return to the new That's So Raven show, Raven Home.
Yes, I would love to. I would love to. That's a Raven was one of my favorite shows that I ever did. And my character Muffy would say, Alana says that she really likes talking to Michael Klaus on the popcorn top.
Love it. What do you think of Gray Griffin?
What do I think of Gray Griffin?
They said formerly Gray Delisle.
Oh my gosh! Okay, yeah, that's who I thought you were talking about. You know, I've only had the absolute pleasure of meeting her a few times, and I'm just in awe of just how talented she is and how accomplished she is, and just all of the, you know, incredible roles she's played. So I think she's incredible. I often find myself speechless when I'm around her, because I am a fangirl of her. So, but I don't think we've had the chance to work together. So I'm hoping that we get the chance to work together in the studio.
Well, we'll put that wish out on a star. And finally, this one's for me, because you said this at the beginning of writing a book was one of the things that you said of a list of things you'll never do. What else is on that list?
I say running a marathon is probably on that list. skydiving is on that list. Yeah, those two things probably.
Well, I'm telling you, I haven't run a marathon. I've gone skydiving, and it's an incredible experience. You need to go. So I'm just saying, I'm putting that out for you.
Okay, well, sounds good. Maybe I'll run a marathon before I'll skydive.
There you go. How about you run a marathon, end at the plane, and then jump out of the plane? I think that sounds great. Well, thank you so much for joining us. Seriously, and being so open, too. And I love the journey that you've had. And again, you face the struggles and you push forward. And congratulations on everything. And I know everything in the future with your attitude is going to be amazing.
Oh, gosh. Thank you. Well, you too. Congratulations on an incredible 3 seasons.
Thank you. And again, like she said, this wraps up our 3rd season of I Could Never Be here on the Popcorn Talk Network. Thank you so much for everyone who joined us today. So many people joining us in the live chat. So many people watching live. Again, we are live here every single Monday. We have been. We're back for season 4 on October 1st. An incredible lineup of guests for you guys, musicians, actors, athletes, people in business who have achieved huge things, have a huge following, and you're hearing from them about their struggles. If you would like to follow Ashley on Instagram and on Twitter at Her Universe. If you want to follow the Popcorn Talk, at the Popcorn Talk on Instagram and on Twitter, and of course at the Only MC here on Instagram and on Twitter. Thank you again for three amazing seasons. Can't wait to give some more advice here coming up in about a month. Please like, comment, subscribe, tell a friend, be able to spread that motivation, because as we've said, if you end one day having helped one person, that day is a success. We'll see you guys for the start of season 4, October 1st.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network. The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.